All right, this is Sunday morning, 6:28:20. Wow. This is a teaching this morning. The title is Escaping the Escape Mentality. Are you a soldier or a socialist?
Escaping the what?
Escaping the escape mentality. Are you a soldier or a socialist? Why is it that the church has an escape mentality? Looking for the rapture or always looking for someone to pray something off of them? The truth of the matter is that we are made in God's image and likeness, and He is a dominionist. All right, we're going to look at Genesis 1. When I say that word, I've heard some Christians on YouTube talk against dominionism and say it's of the devil. And I'm thinking, and you just said God's of the devil. I mean, these are people that I don't think are just airheads. They really, you say the word dominionism and they act like you've to snake or something. And I haven't understood that because way back 1999, the Lord spoke to me about I never meant for the airlines and everything you see to be under the dominion of Satan. I meant for my church to dominate every whatever you call it, segment of our culture, like the Seven Mountain Mandate. I never heard of the Seven Mountain Mandate until probably 5 years ago, maybe. But the Lord gave that to me in 99, and I knew nothing about that. I just knew He said, it's the church's fault that we see the anarchy that we're seeing today because we didn't take what the devil stole. Okay, we're going to see how a dominionist acts. All right, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So something destroyed what God had made. Something. Or someone. All right, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's how dominionists operate, they say. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and then the evening and the morning were the first day. On the second day. We don't just do it the first day, we get a revelation on this, we have to do it the second day too. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Alright, verse 9, and God said on the third day, and let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. 14, the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Fifth day, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly in the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 24, the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. So, what is that saying? That's saying every day we have to take dominion. We can't rest. We can't rest. Now, God did sit down and He did rest after He completed everything. After He spoke to everything that had been destroyed, messed with, altered from His perfect creation, then on the seventh day right here He says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God entered His work, and when he had made it He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. So when we see everything going our way, I mean everything, that's when we rest. We're not to cease Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, taking dominion. When you see something you don't like, that's when you say. We got to start somewhere. You might as well be saying what you want. All right. Go over to Adam. Y'all know this, but we're going to... Right here. This is 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the same name thereof. Now, I've done this and I've had the Lord tell me, well, say it this way. It'll be better. But he pretty well said whatever Adam called it. Look at the earth. How's Adam been calling it? Oh, we're just going to hell, handbasket. That's a church there. Guess what? We called it, we got it. That's not the what we wanted. That's not what we wanted. So what's got to change? I know we're doing it, but there'll be other people listening to these tapes, so yeah, we know. We're to take dominion, dominionists. We're not looking for a bailout. We're looking for an assignment. Now think about that. We're looking for an assignment. We're changing our world today, and we are seeing big changes. And there's only a remnant that have got a hold of this and are doing this. And one can chase 1,000, 2, 10,000. We're seeing changes. All right. Truth is, he made you to take and have dominion over every situation. So why are you always looking for a bailout? When the Israelites came out of Egypt, where they were in socialism. Socialism is a bailout. That's what the deep state at this present time with the pandemic, what their initial goal was to get us dependent on the government. In our homes, afraid to go anywhere, afraid to do anything, just doing what we are told. Uh-huh. Exactly. Okay. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, where they were in socialism, socialism is a bailout, God got them out and they headed to their promised land. It was not going to be handed to them on a platter, but they would have to take it. God said it was theirs. The land I've given you. It's like Keith Moore used to say, but there's four big hairy demons right there that you're going to have to fight off. Yeah. No, I just wanted you to give it to me. Isn't that what these anarchists that we're seeing tear up things? They make their demands. If you don't do what we say, we'll burn the whole thing down. That's a direct quote. They're entitled, mainly white kids that have been given everything on with a silver spoon or served on a silver platter. Parents never said no to them about anything, gave them everything, and now they have entitlement, and they think, you just give me what I want, and I'll tear up, and I'll do destruction, and I'll make you do what I want, because I'm a bratty kid, and I'm going to get what I want. No, there's some new kids on the block, and they've been raised right. They've been taught by their father that they can have what they say, and they're saying what they want, and they're going to get what they want. We're already seeing it. We're already seeing these big babies with these big pacifiers. They're already getting prosecuted. They arrested four yesterday for trying to tear down a statue. But what they don't understand is they can track them, and they've been tracking them. They got pictures of them everywhere they go. They've been tracking Antifa for a long time. So everything they do, they know everything about them, and they know just when to pick them up. And they don't understand why Uncle Georgie is not bailing them out anymore, because Uncle Georgie's run out of money. I don't think Uncle Georgie's even alive, actually. But they're finally realizing, oh, you mean I have to pay for this? I have to pay for the destruction I've done and the evil I've done? Yeah, you have to pay. Go do another one. We'll give you another 10. How about that? 10 years for tearing down a statue? Was it worth it when you're going to lose anyway? Okay, no bailouts. No bailouts. Numbers 13. I've learned a good lesson over the last few months. The Lord says, you know, when you get in dire situations, you just want a bailout. You just want relief. You just want help. And the Lord is saying, I got a sack full of grace. Call on the grace. When you feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other, call on the grace. You may do a lot of little things that might help along the way, but the truth is God is teaching us to walk by His grace, just like Paul did. Paul is not once in some elite class. He is the normal, everyday Christian, and that has been a big fallacy, never being taught that, oh, well, Paul will never attain to Paul. No, we're all supposed to be where Paul was, taking dominion, occupying our land, not letting the devil have any place in our life, in our bodies, in our homes, in our... You just start in your circle and go all the way out. City, county, state, United States, the world. Okay, Numbers 13. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Then verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way and southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came up unto Hebron, which Ahiman, Shishi, and Talmi, the children of Anak, were, which are the giants. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. They brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong, they that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See, this was that bunch that come out of socialism, used to government bailouts. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And if the leaders are that way, the people are going to be that way. They lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. It amazes me today with the great things that President Trump has done, that people, Christians, bash him, trash him. Oh, it's just beyond me. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Oh, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? He gave you the land. And they said to one to another, let us make a captain, let's return into Egypt. It was better to be under socialism. Yes, we were like sheep led to the slaughter, but we had cucumbers. We had our government check every month. We knew we had our paycheck coming. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel. Why does it seem to be the odds is always two against what, how many? Probably a couple million people here. Does it seem to be that way? Like a voice crying in the wilderness? Wake up. Shut up. The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. One of these days soon, all the gainsayers are going to see the remnant with the full hats on, and they're going to say, you were right. Why didn't we listen? You were right. I agree with Melissa Red Pill. She says the angels woke us all up, and I agree with her. A certain time, it was like instantly you were awake. That was sovereign. That was an act of God. He woke up his remnant for this time, this hour. We were born for this. This is our destiny. And the Lord God said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. He's talking to the leaders here. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be prey, then will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bury your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up their evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So, the majority won in that day, but 40 years later, they all got their due justice for what they had spoken, what they had believed, and what they had said. But they had to run around the wilderness until all the socialists died out. And those that were not propagandized were the ones that went in. Okay, Joshua 6. This bunch, they had seen enough to know that you didn't mess with God. Okay, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I've heard stories about how massive this city was and these walls were. Pretty intimidating. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. See, God gave Joshua. He even got a visitation from the angel, who was the head of the armies of the Lord, giving him the strategy. God will give us a strategy. It's too big for us to do it. Yes, in our own natural ability, we can't do it. But when God gives us the strategy, we can. And it came to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets. And the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. The second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawn of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times only. On that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel cursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, that they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Total and complete victory. But God's people had to make a stand. God's people had to let God call the shots. They got the strategy, and then they followed it to the letter, and God gave them the victory. The trumpet blast, I don't know exactly what all of those mean. I've not done a thorough study on that. But to me, a trumpet is look out. Look out. It's a warning. Look out, you people up there on the wall thinking you're secure behind that big old city. No, it's coming down because we're fixing to lose some faith words. And there ain't nobody on this earth can help you. Yeah. That's what happened. Well, today the Lord's saying the same thing to us. But I would encourage you today. I've been pondering it for a few weeks, and I believe that I have it in my heart that so much of this has already transpired, and what we're seeing is just a play out. They're being used to carry out, because they have been called on the carpet and they've been told, this is your fate. If you want to work with us, we might be a little lenient, but not totally lenient. So they're playing their parts, and we're getting to see. We see highlights of how crazy it is, but we've already won. That doesn't mean that we stop, but that's what I'm convinced of. It's so fake. Even the riots and things, you just see little piscary, or whatever you call it, little shots here and there. Just at the right angle, saying just the right thing to wake the public up, to wake the people up. Does that mean we quit? No, the devil's real and he is an enemy. So I want to encourage you today, we're winning and we're going to continue to win. And we're going to go into our new promised land, our 1,000-year reign of peace. Even people that don't really know anything about Bible prophecy, I'm hearing we're entering into a new age. Everyone is speaking it. They don't understand it, but they know everything's about to change. I heard the new King of England talking about that. We're stepping into a new age, and he sees it as the reign of Christ, you know. But they all know it. They can feel it. It's in the air. Change is here. The biggest problem is the socialist people that have gotten used to the things the way are, and they just listen to whatever the Mockingbird news agencies bring forth, and they don't want to hear nothing. They don't want to see nothing. Well, now they... seeing all this nastiness before their eyes, they're having to come to a conclusion. There must really be something to this. Something is really going on. All right, so what do we do in the meantime? Ephesians 6. Taking that oath is very significant. It has to do with the new constitution is fixing to be implemented. See? It's coming. We're returning to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what's happening. Finally, my brethren, this is Ephesians 6:10. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we need to keep up the prayer vigil. We need to stand strong. God is not asking us to do this in our own. It's just like Paul. When Paul went to the Lord about the trouble he was seeing, what do I do about this, Lord? Please take it off of me, Lord. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in your weakness, my strength is in your weakness. God doesn't want man to get glory. He wants him to have all the glory. And so when you see somebody that appears to be weak, but they, through the help of God, do things, exploits, and you know that person's not capable of that, who gets the glory? See, the weakness keeps you humble. It keeps you in your place knowing, I could not do anything without God. I can't take my next breath without God. See, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is what happened with the cabal. Money. The love of money became the root of all evil, just like the scripture says. God wants people that know his power and his strength, and they worship him. That's the kind of people he wants. He wants people that will do what he asks them to do, but they don't take the glory for it. Then he'll bless you beyond what you can ask or think for doing so. He gave them the whole land. I mean, he went in. Jericho, they killed everything. Man, woman, baby, oxen. They stripped the whole place. God said, I've given you their land. They're not worshiping me. They're the ites and the half-breeds of the Nephilim, or the fallen angels. They're not serving me. They serve the devil. And so everything that they've heaped up, I'm going to give to you. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. That's exactly what happened here. They had a reset, just like we are having a reset. Get prepared for it. I feel it coming. Feel it very close. Tell Danny, check the house. Get online and check the house payment. The mortgage information. Be expecting. Don't act like, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you'll be that bunch that dies out. I'm going in, man. I'm going to get the promised land. Mm-hmm. It's time for milk and honey. Okay. When we stand, he makes a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. When we think we can't make it, God's grace kicks in and says, oh, yes, you can. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You know what the temptation is? It's to speak something out of your mouth that's unproductive. That is the biggest temptation. Mm-hmm. That's what the devil's all about, is your words. He comes to steal the word of God out of the situation. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You're not going to die. But will, with a temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You'll look back and go, woo, the Lord had come through that time. Because I was about to go down. But he did it. Why does it seem to be so hard for Christians to understand this? They have not, as a whole, been taught that they are soldiers. They have not been taught to take their stand and take their land. They have been under the socialized Christian church system. As a result of it being in the church, we now see it in the world system. Who are the ones with the dominion? The church. So if it's in the church, you know it's in the world. People say, well, the church world got into the church. Well, no, the church actually didn't obey. When we don't take our stand and take our land, we look around you, this is what you see, Babylon. Hopefully, we'll have 1,000 years to teach the body of Christ the kingdom ways. In heaven, it is spoken and it is so. It is supposed to be that way in the earth also. It simply amazes me that what I hear people say today, when they have a symptom, they start calling for sickness. The stupidest thing in the world. Why would you call for what you have? Called socialized medicine, folks. When they get sick, they run to the doctor. They're supposed to run to the Lord. James 5. I saw something in James 5 that I haven't seen before. Yesterday, or the day, whenever, whatever day. It was yesterday. I'm going to read the whole chapter. In fact, let me see something here. It's in another part. I'll just read this little part. We'll read it in the other prophet's corner. It says here, James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, he'll be forgiven him. See, whenever someone's sick, they need spiritual insight. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. To me, this scripture is for a believer that's young, that doesn't know how to use their faith. So they can call the church elders to help get some insight to pray the prayer of faith right here. The heavens shut or the heavens open. Just like Elijah. That's the way we're supposed to take care of our... Now, if the Lord leads you to a natural source, then you obey Him. But that's the way I see it. When they need an answer, they call all their prayer chains across the land to have them pray. Not usually, it's more than one. I know someone like this. It comes from the charismatic move. It was a big deal. They started having, you know, lots of seminars and lots of ministries having prayer chains. And so you just called all the prayer chains. Well, that's not what the scripture says. This is Matthew. Now it says go to the elders there. To me, I think that'd be your own pastor. This is Matthew 6, 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So when you have a need, you go into your secret prayer closet and you ask the Lord about it. You don't call every prayer chain in town where everybody, thousands of people know your business. Is that, he didn't say that. I just shipwrecked most people's faith this morning saying that, because that's what they do. They're always looking for somebody. Give me, pray, the, if I can get just enough people to pray. It's like the man Brother Hagin talked about that had TB. He got so bad, he was a pastor, I think, he got so bad, he was only in his 40s, that he was bedridden in his in-law's home. And he got to thinking about the thousands of people that said they'd pray for him. And he said, why should I lay here and pray? If just a handful of ones that said they would pray, wouldn't that be enough to hear and get the answers that we need? So he decided, Lord, if you'll help me get out to them bushes, I'm going to praise you. And he did. And he praised where a person heard him 2 miles away. He started out crawling out there. The devil said, you know what? You're going to die out here. Nobody will know where you are till the buzzards come and circle your body. Really? But he stood out there and began to pray, and he got louder and louder and louder to somebody hearing you 2 miles away. We lived on a farm. There's a lot of, you know. But you know what? He got his healing. He got the manifestation of his healing. Healing's already here. It's already here. Okay. Oh, please get this devil off of me. I must have sinned terribly. I've got this demon. I must be demon possessed. You know the song and dance because you've all done it. There must be something really wrong here. When I started going through all the stuff, the Lord started training me and pulling me aside. I wrote letters to everybody thinking I must be out of my love walk to have to suffer and go through this. Always looking for a bailout. Always looking for something. That's why we got aisles of aids to help us with every little ache and pain. Everybody's wanting to be comfortable. They don't. Who likes pain? Who likes hardness? Nobody that I know of. Oh, please pray the situation off of me. Please. Please pray. I hear that so much. Please pray with me about this, that, and so. And I've gotten to where I just answer with, why don't you just say what you want? Sometimes it kind of blows their hair back a little bit. But you kind of, these babies that just want to suck the bottle all the time, that's been in the church, been saved for 60 years, you just go, where does the nursery school end? Where does sandbox end? It's time to stand up and be a soldier of the Lord. So I found myself getting bolder with these people that think, you know, I need to just be available to pray for every little thing that comes down the pike, and it's a lot. And you just think, no. You start conditioning them to say, well, say what you want. You don't need me to pray. You need to say what you want. All right, Mark 11. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, these are situations, circumstances, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Doesn't say anything about people praying stuff off of you. It says that you speak what you want. You speak to the circumstance and the situation. This is not rocket science. It really isn't. And it's very simple. We are soldiers. What do soldiers do? They defend. They take dominion. They face the problem head on. They use their weapons to solve their problems. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing, exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into obedience to Christ. They use their weapons to solve their problems. Weapons aren't flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians 10 through 5, I just quoted to you. Now 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The hardness is the flesh. That's the hard part, the flesh. Not letting the flesh override. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So the Lord's observing and he's watching how we handle our situations to see if he can trust us. Because he wants to let us loose to be able to really do warfare. Do some big things. Things that are really going to make a difference. If we do it in the little things, he's faithful in little things, we'll be given much. First Timothy 6. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge of the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He didn't let the pressure he was under cause his mouth to say words. So I told the disciples, I'm not going to be speaking with you much during this time, his time of the going to the cross, because he didn't want to give Satan any place. That's where Satan gets in, is our mouth. Okay, Hebrews 12. First four scriptures. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So get a picture. We've got a grandstand of people up there watching us run a race. Jesus is the author of it and the finisher of it. He's overseeing the whole thing and they're watching. They're probably out there, you can do it, you can do it, cheering us on. Just like the Olympics. Our lot in life is to stand and resist what we do not want and to speak what we do. We are like our Father and His Son. We are dominionists.